Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 216 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
Hello, and welcome. We got the thing that we were talking about last week of interesting stuff that we've been sitting on for a week, so we're excited about that.
Yeah, it's a really great topic. I'm super excited.
That's all we're going to say about it. It's a great topic.
It has to do with basically when you're good at stuff.
When you're good at stuff. So right now, me, all the time. No, kidding. I'm still cranky because I haven't yet had my guacamole yet. Michael, you want to kick us off? You said you were really excited.
I'm very excited about my fact. My fact is about Top Gun.
Top Gun, a movie I have yet to see.
I know.
It's in the list. We actually have a whole page in the in our company like hierarchy or as movies Lindsay hasn't seen.
Yeah, I remember we talked about.
We all haven't seen.
We talked about
one for each, but some people's lists are shorter than others.
I saw Aliens. I loved the Christmas Day Die Hard. I love Die Hard.
Yeah, that was good.
Love that. I would watch Top Gun. Except Michael, before we started this podcast, we watched two clips of it.
Yes.
And I'm not getting the sense that the Tom Cruise character is a hero because the scene that I saw, he was a real butt.
Okay.
It depends on which scene you saw. He was a really mean dude.
It was the because I'm inverted scene.
Oh. Yeah, that's a great scene.
That's a great scene.
He was so rude to that woman. He should respect her because all I know about her is that she's wearing a suit, she's looking fly, and she's trying to lecture these people, and he's not listening and giving her the respect that she deserves. She got a top security clearance.
Yeah. At its heart, Top Gun is a movie about lecture halls.
Yeah, about lecture halls?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it turns out the whole premise of the movie, for Lindsay anyway, Top Gun is this school for fighter pilots. It's the top 1% of all fighter pilots go to this school.
In the Navy.
Tom Cruise's character was so cocky and he's the best?
And that is all.
They all are that cocky and they all think they're the best.
And that woman slept with him after that.
Yes.
Yes.
Ugh. Spoiler alert.
She Lindsay
McGillis
that
sleeps
out
with Tom Cruise in that movie. Yeah.
Lindsay pulled that out almost immediately. The scene ends like, how long was it before she slept with him?
Right. It's about one more scene.
Which,
right.
Girl, do what do who and what you want to do, but his attitude was not worthy of
To be fair, she also didn't believe him when he was telling the truth.
That is fair.
Well, he shouldn't have been brought it up and contradict her in front of a whole room full of people.
Negative 4G die.
I don't think it was.
Anyway.
I only saw 2 minutes of it, and I'm so angry. I don't even think, did he learn a lesson?
Yes.
Did he get his comeuppance?
No. but.
I didn't want to say what you're thinking right now.
Yes and no.
Anyway, so this school is actually based on a real-life naval school. It's a naval fighter school.
Dogfighting, yeah.
Dogfighting. It used to be based out at Miramar, north of San Diego. Now it's at NAS Fallon in Nevada.
Cool.
And
So at Top Gun today, and this is according to AMC, there was a fine for anyone on the staff who references or quotes the movie.
Okay.
What is that fine?
Oh, how much is the fine?
How much is the fine for quoting or referencing
school,
Top Gun?
Is the school actually still called Top Gun? Is that the name of the school?
It's more popularly known as Top Gun. The official name is the United States Navy Strike Fighter Tactics Instructor Program.
Also known as Top Gun.
Also known as Top Gun.
Okay, so Top Gun is just the common.
Colloquial.
Yeah.
Right.
Huh. I always thought the Top Gun was the name of the plane. I didn't realize the name of the school.
Yeah.
No, all the planes in the in Top Gun were the F-14, which actually I didn't know until I started researching this fact, was retired by the Navy in 06.
Huh. Okay.
They only used the FA-18s, the Hornets and the Super Hornets.
Oh, okay.
Huh.
Oh, the Navies don't have Raptors.
Navies don't have Raptors.
All right.
Cool. Interesting.
So anyway, going back, what is the fine at the real Top Gun?
And this is a dollar amount.
This is a dollar amount.
Okay. Well,
I have a good guess, but I want Lindsay to go first.
I have no source of reference for how much people fine things. I can tell you what a parking ticket is, but that's not really the same thing. Also, freedom of speech, right? You know, I feel like you should be...
Well...
Yeah, that doesn't go over very well on a military structure.
Yeah, right? Or in schools or theaters where things are not on fire. I'll just say $100.
Okay.
I'm going to say they fine your ass a check that your body can't cash.
What is that? Is that a joke?
That's a reference to the movie. We will get you caught up.
Ha 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 ha.
The fine is actually significantly less. It's $5.
$5.
$5.
It's worth it.
Depending on the situation, I think it's worth it.
I put $50 a day aside and just constantly be the guy who quotes the movie.
And you'd have no friends.
So but, $5 per Top Gun quote reference.
Or quote or reference.
Okay. Reasonable.
Yeah. No, I think that's completely reasonable. And I think if you're in the perfect scenario,
uh-huh,
you absolutely have to do it.
Oh, absolutely. Like when you're getting yelled at by your drill instructor and you tell him, you know, I feel like you've lost that loving feeling.
What about when you're playing volleyball?
There's no volleyball allowed.
Yeah, no volleyball.
I don't know. That's the only other scene from that movie that I know.
No homoerotic sports play at all.
Yeah, well, no, that's like the scene from Ghost with the pottery. Uh-huh. That's my reference to that. It's like, oh, sexual pottery making. And then when I think of Top Gun, I think of like
shirtless volleyball.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Glistening Val Kilmer under the California sun.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, no. For me, it's permission for a drive, for a flyby.
For a flyby, yeah.
It actually says here, this is just a little bonus thing. No pilot in the history of Miramar has actually buzzed the tower, but they all wanted to.
Of course they did.
So, yeah.
Permission denied.
That's negative, Ghost Rider.
Cool. Very cool.
$5 per reference.
You want to go, Nick?
I can go, yeah. All right. According to, I guess it's Reuters, that's the Marist College Institute for Public Opinion in Poughkeepsie, New York.
Ooh.
What is the most annoying word?
The most annoying word?
Yes. Moist.
No.
That's what a lot of people would say.
Yeah.
I don't know why people don't, like, I don't want to keep saying it because then people immediately turn off the podcast.
So here's the thing. That might be the worst word, but that doesn't really annoy you. It just brings bad feelings. You're not annoyed when you hear that.
It doesn't bother me at all.
You're grossed out, or someone who isn't annoyed. They're grossed out, or they just don't like it.
I don't know. Necessarily annoyed. Never really bothered me. I never understood. I don't know. I have a friend that's afraid of balloons. Not balloons popping, just balloons in general. I really hate feet. Like, you know, people got their weird things.
Unflated balloons, or like
all of the above, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know. Or like if an inflatable balloon.
I personally dislike flaccid balloons. They're awful.
Okay. So, well, moist would have been my guess. Okay. So annoying word. How do I feel when I'm annoyed? Well, annoyed is a feeling. So
yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say you feel annoyed when you're annoyed.
Yeah. But what makes me annoyed?
Slow computers.
Yeah. There's so many.
Tom Cruise being a dick.
Gosh, man, I'm still angry about that. It's like, you know what? Who we should get together with? Elsa from Frozen. Him and her would have a beautiful, probably the nicest baby in the entire world. You know, because the whole opposite thing.
Yeah. All right. So just as an example, some of the words that were not in the top 10, but were close, are shut down, gridlock, fiscal cliff, and sequestration. All like DC-based words.
What about synergy?
Synergy, not on the list.
That annoys
filibuster.
Me.
Filibuster. That is, again, below some of the other ones I did in the Washington-related,
right,
government-related ones.
Is number one Washington government-related?
It is not.
Bureaucracy.
Nope.
Red tape.
Nope.
Is this the word itself sounds annoying, or it brings up feelings of annoyance?
Honestly, it's both. Like, I definitely fall into the category where this word annoys the hell out of me.
DMV.
No, that's more of a location.
I don't know.
So going up the list, just a couple of the words and phrases. Obviously.
Oh, literally.
Literally has to be it.
Literally is not it, but it is on the list. That is close. Just saying.
Oh, okay. So these are expressions,
right,
and things.
You know.
Oh.
Number two was like.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was trying to think of a specific. Yeah, okay. Right, my headspace was in the wrong framing for when I was thinking about this question.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to think of words that sounded really bad, not that they were used like that.
They produce the, you're so annoyed, you know?
Yeah. Obviously.
Whatever is the number one word on the list.
That's so obvious now in retrospect that you say it.
Once you hear it, it becomes blatantly obvious, but picking it out of the lexicon of English words is extremely difficult.
As if.
Whatever.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I like it.
Cool. I don't use whatever in a lot of, like, well, down
it's such
for whatever.
A dismissive whatever. Term. Like, you spend a whole, like, period of time, like if we were to sit down in a business meeting and you were to spend, like, 30 minutes, like, plotting out, like, something you'd spent hours working on and plans that you had and things that you wanted to implement within the company. And I looked at you and I went, oh, okay, whatever. Like, you'd lose your shit.
I would, yeah, I would not be happy. I know this because anytime we're deciding where we want to eat, I'm like, oh, well, and Joey's like, well, how about this? How about this? I'm like, whatever. And then he'll say another restaurant and I'll be like, meh. And he's like, you need to tell me what you want, not just what you don't want.
That is an entirely separate massive argument between all couples where the issue usually lies with the woman. What do you want to do for dinner tonight? I don't know. Whatever you want to do is fine. Great. Let's go to McDonald's. Well, I don't want to go to McDonald's. Well, then whatever I say isn't the place that you're fine with, is it?
So I have ordered takeout from 4 restaurants.
Yeah. That may be a huge stereotype, but I know in my own relationship that is very true.
Yeah. Mine too.
I'm single. I have this issue with my roommates, so I'm halfway there.
And you get no sex as a result.
Yeah, exactly.
Although I've been, you know, together with my wife for a while, so you're probably doing better than I am.
This is such a sad turn. this is such a sad turn, and I don't want to talk any more about that. So
right,
I'm going to go
moving right along.
It's something that I like, hockey. Specifically, we're going to talk about the Hall of Fame. I've talked previously on the podcast, so I've been to the Hall of Fame in Toronto.
Yeah, in the mall.
In the mall, yeah.
In the basement of the mall in
it
Toronto.
It still is so weird. So I just looked up a list of all of the people that, you know, are in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And you would, you know, it's not surprising that the majority are Canadians.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And what's interesting about the Hockey Hall of Fame is that it's NHLers and outside of the NHL. It's not specifically an
like
NHL.
Olympic hockey players or like,
yeah,
like Miracle on Ice is represented there, I'm sure.
Yeah, like so it covers all aspects of hockey, not just specifically the National Hockey League as we know it.
Are you in there? As a national competitive hockey, ball hockey player?
They don't usually put the bench warmer in ball hockey. It's the, I don't know, it says National Hockey Hall of Fame, but it's doesn't include ball hockey, unfortunately.
Oh, well, you said all kinds of hockey.
I know, I wish.
All right, so your sport of choice is not actually hockey. Got it.
Oh, man. No, it's hockey. It's just, we play it on a playing surface. There's no blades. It's the same thing in hockey. It's 5v5, extended zone. I have this conversation with everybody that asks me what the heck ball hockey is, but that's not my fact.
Isn't hockey technically 6v6?
Well, you know, the goalie, whatever. They don't count. They're usually, I don't count them as people because they're constantly in my way.
Okay.
They're literally trying to prevent me from getting my goal.
Right.
Get it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll stop.
Please
okay.
Do.
Thank you.
So the nationalities, the United States, Canada. There was a guy that was Canadian and from Great Britain, from Edinburgh. He was born and then he moved to Canada.
Okay.
What was the next nationality of the next guy elected to the Hall of Fame chronologically?
Oh, so first three were a Canadian, American, and a...
Yeah, yeah. So if you go down the list, like, I can show it
English.
To you right now.
Uh-huh.
And you're just like, oh, look, here's all of the...
Canadian.
So what was the first person elected to the Hall of Fame that wasn't a
Canadian
Brit?
Or American?
Yeah, a Brit, Canadian, or American.
Check.
And this is, you know, the guy was born there, and this is what, you know,
right.
The
so,
nationality
see,
is listed.
See, I made a pun there, and nobody got it.
Yeah,
what
I
was
got
your pun?
It. I just
I said
it.
I thought he was Czech.
Oh.
You're all welcome.
Oh, man. Is that right?
No.
I would initially assume that the obvious one would be maybe like Russian or Finnish or Swedish or something like that. But since this is an interesting fact, I'm going to go Kenyan.
Nope.
Jamaican.
I was going to say the one place in Africa I know there are penguins in South Africa.
Okay.
No, neither. So 1974, a center, Tommy Dunderdale.
Australian? Great
Australian.
Name.
Australian.
All right.
Yeah, Australian. So he was born in Australia in 1870-something. He played in a bunch of leagues. Didn't ever play for the NHL because how many NHL players are Australian?
None.
Correct. The Caps actually drafted the first Australian player for the NHL back a couple years ago, Nathan Walker, who's currently playing for the Bears.
Hershey, yeah.
Yeah, so he hasn't gotten the call-up yet, but when he does...
He will become the first Australian in
he'll be the first, first Australian in NHL history. So it's interesting to me that the...
Breaking down all those barriers.
Well, you know, this is in 2017. This guy, this Australian guy who, you know, grew up in Canada, was elected to the Hall of Fame in 1974. So Australians got a long way to go, I guess, catching up in the
for
hockey
that,
world.
That second one to get in there.
I don't know if they have a national ball hockey team. I'll find out in the summer.
I'll take a look at it. The that would be one of those things where he was the fourth country to be represented in the Hall of Fame, and therefore being like 11,000th overall kind of things, right?
Yeah. So I've also seen some stats that said Australia is the third biggest market for NHL merchandise sales. And there's a whole bunch of articles saying about how it's ice hockey is growing and is huge there. They have a bunch of rinks and a lot of space because that's the biggest thing in the States with hockey is it's expensive because land is expensive. Rinks are expensive and things. And Australia is pretty big.
Yeah. Zambonis have to cost a pretty penny.
Yeah.
Especially if you had to import them.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's my fact.
Oh, interesting.
Cool. Right. I'll word that better in the write-out.
I think we all will do a better job of wording it.
I just got excited.
Mine was dead on the nose. I don't know about you.
Cool. Well, go into your topic now before we run out of time again.
Okay. So this is an article from Business Insider from March of 2017.
Ooh, relevant.
And basically, it is a scientific analysis of when a human being peaks at certain things. Like, what age are you when you are most primed or best suited to do a certain thing?
Okay, so it's different categories. It's not just like, here's where it all goes downhill.
Exactly.
Got it.
Exactly. It's a ton of different categories.
We should have had a much better lead into that off the top. People would have stuck around to listen to it.
Maybe. I don't know. It's if they're still sticking around, then they're hopefully in for an interesting set of information.
Give us the first one.
All right, so the first one, learning a new language. What is the best age to learn a new language?
I think I know from
4 years old.
Yeah, I was going to say really young.
Yeah, when you're a kid.
Four or five.
Seven.
Okay. Seven.
Seven
nice.
Is the best to do that. I'm going to skip around here so that
yeah,
we're
go
not
for
in
it.
Chronological order. Physical strength.
Like that you can lift something.
Yes.
That...
When are your muscles the strongest?
Is it the same for men and women?
Generally, yes. Okay. I mean, basically what they did was they have a range and the number I'm giving you is the median of that range.
Ooh, median and modes and average and means and yeah.
I'm going to say 19.
19? That's depressing. Now I'm just framing it around of how strong I feel right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say 24.
25.
Oh, nice.
25
cool.
is the age at which that peaks.
Wait, no, I'm already past the peak.
Yeah, you're on the downhill slope at this point.
What a sad... Man, this is terrible.
All right. So the age that men and women feel best about their bodies.
19.
I remember being in high school and still having, you know, feeling terrible about my body. And then I look back on high school pictures and I'm like, man, wow, I was a rail.
Right.
I was lanky.
And yet you were unhappy with your body.
Well, yeah, I think that's just a constant thing for all humankind.
Well, so that's the question. At what age is the peak feeling about your physical appearance?
This is also kind of tricky, though, because when do you start caring about your physical appearance,
right?
That's
a good point.
When do you become self-aware enough that you're like, oh, wait, now I have a body? Because I would guess that it's puberty, right?
I would assume that it's probably around age 10 or so. So, yeah, we can eliminate all the single-digit ages from this.
Well, yeah, because I was going to say, like, I would have guessed a young kid, they're like, all right, yeah, I'm cool, I am who I am, but they're not self-aware in this context of
correct.
This question. So I'm going to say...
I'm sticking with 19.
I'm going to go older.
Okay.
And say 23.
Okay. How do you guys feel now about your bodies? Worse than you did a couple of years ago, I'm assuming, based on your answers.
I feel much better now than I did post-college, honestly.
Okay.
Because I've been playing a lot more sports and, yeah.
I've been doing the exact opposite. I'm trying to get back into everything. So,
the age at which people are finally comfortable with who they are
45? Is it really old?
70.
70?
70.
Oh, wow. That's the point where like, meh.
Yeah,
whatever.
I don't give a shit anymore. That's exactly what it is that the point where you're comfortable in your own skin, in your own physical appearance, is age 70.
Let's change that. Let's be comfortable in our own skins now.
Right.
I tell that to myself so future Lindsay, when she looks in the mirror later after having her fourth Chipotle bowl,
right.
It's okay.
So Sarah is pregnant again. I'm having another child, which is
woo, woo,
yay.
Woo.
But so with the first kid, it was a boy, obviously. And
I met Asher.
Yeah. And she wanted nothing but spicy foods. So at this point, it's a girl and she wants nothing but sugar. So I'm usually the sugar person in the family, but I've been trying to take better care of myself. So I haven't had like any significant like sugar products Like, I still put Splenda in my coffee, but I'm not an animal. But, like, I'm trying to cut out, like, the cookies and the sweets and all the stuff I eat on a regular basis. She is going through, like, a sleeve of golden Oreos, like, 3 a week.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Get
She's
it, girl.
Loving life right now.
Get it.
So, all right. Peak age to settle down and get married.
28.
I see. I think it's higher. I think I'm thinking, like, 31.
26.
Ooh,
whoa.
26 is the best time.
So I was close.
Married.
I'm crushing you, Michael.
Yeah.
Really
Price of
kept
Right
it.
Rules, we were both wrong.
We should have just kept the difference in the math there.
All right. So now we can go a little intellectual.
Ooh, okay. This is definitely the place I like to live.
Peak
no.
age to win a Nobel Prize.
42. I don't know enough about the Nobel Prize winning ages. I could list a couple Nobel Prize winners, like, but I wouldn't know their ages.
Like 55.
It's 40.
Oh, what did 40. I say, 42 again?
You said 42. Yeah, no, Lindsay's actually crushing at this. She has a good feel as to where she is as a person outside of her physical appearance. Math. When are you best at math?
Oh, well, I'm out of this question. Bye.
12.
Is this pre-calculator days
or post-calculator
days?
Yeah, what kind of math are we talking
days?
About here?
Arithmetic skills. You learned your times tables in second grade or whatever.
I think
you
have
you
to
peak?
Be related to when you're in school.
So I'm say like 14.
I was going to say 17.
Okay, both way off base here. It's 50.
50?
Your really? Arithmetic skills peak at 50.
Okay, but this is the 50-year-olds now didn't grow up with like a calculator in your pocket all the time with a smartphone.
True, but understanding basic principles of arithmetic allow you to use that
calculator.
Yeah,
but they had to understand basic rules of arithmetic. 50, like when I'm 50, I'm still going to be using my phone.
Yeah.
How often do you use a calculator to calculate trivia scores, though? Like, that's just adding and subtracting.
The spreadsheet does it for me.
Not the
not
actual
on the
scoring
individual.
Of the sheets. You
add
up the scores
patterns.
And then enter it into the spreadsheet.
That's
well,
all
Well, you
patterns.
Have you have reduced basic arithmetic to pattern recognition.
Yeah.
Because know. You're getting better at basic arithmetic.
I don't know. Just math is no. Not in my thing.
All right.
not my wheelhouse. That's the word.
Vocabulary.
Well, learning it or yep. saying it? Because I still can't pronounce anything, and that will never change.
Basically, both.
I'm gonna say
use
right
of
about,
vocabulary.
Use of vocabulary. I'm going to say it's right about the same as math. I'm going to say it's about 50.
I'm going to say 34.
Early 70s.
What?
Ooh. Early 70s. All
Is
right, and then
the reading maybe. I don't
one
know.
One last one.
So wait, so when you're early 70s, you're feeling good about your bod and your vocabulary is baller.
Is at its peak.
I want to see some of their Tinder profiles.
I mean, some of the other ones. You are in your 40s and 50s. You're at your peak capability for understanding like emotional empathy, like understanding other people's emotional states is in your 40s and 50s. Your salary peaks 48 for men, 39 for women.
Okay.
So that was one that there was a distinct discrepancy right. in there. Brain power.
Overall brain power.
Overall brain power.
I have no
this is not
sense.
The last one. It's just a good one that I'm sliding
40.
Here.
Yeah, I have no sense of reference for this, but I'll go 48.
Brain processing power peaks at 18.
Oh, shoot. Oh, shoot.
So we are all way, well past those points.
I'm going to have to remember that next time I'm at like a Ben and Jerry's or like, you know, the thing that teens have their hip summer jobs at. Like, you know, I scooped ice cream when I was a teenager. I'm going to remember that. Be like, this kid's at his peak brain power.
Yeah, this is the maximum of what he'll be able to accomplish.
The guy pushing us down the snow tubing.
Yeah. So yeah, just some other ones real quick before I ask you the last one. Bone mass peaks at 30. Chess players peak at 31. You're best at learning new faces when you're 32. But the one last one, which I think is obviously the most important. When does life satisfaction peak?
Life satisfaction. What is the definition of life satisfaction? You're just happy that you exist and where you are?
Yeah. That you are where you predicted you would be, that you are, you know, on track, that you are doing everything that you want to do with your life.
I got to say early 70s based on previous.
When do your kids leave for college?
For me, it will be 54.
Then I'm going with 54.
The first one leaves, the last one will leave at 57.
Okay, then I'm going with 57.
You're going with 57 is when satisfaction, as soon as the kids are out of the damn house.
Exactly. And it's quiet again for the
for everybody. You can do whatever you want. Lindsay, once again,
yeah.
69. 69 is when your life satisfaction peaks, which is just such a great answer on so many different levels.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
you are
my
most
goodness.
Satisfied with life at 69.
I'm going to roll my eyes at you. And we need a secret phrase. Gentlemen, you paying attention?
Yes.
And?
Go ahead, Michael.
I kind of want to go with negative Ghost Rider.
Negative Ghost Rider? Good, that's it.
Okay,
negative
Ghost
Rider.
Rider.
When
okay.
was that from? I don't know.
From Top
it's
Gun.
A Top Gun reference.
Yeah, it's from okay, way cool. early in the podcast.
We promise that we will not fine you $5 for saying that or writing it down on your answer sheet to your yes. host this week.
We will, in fact, award you 5 points.
Yeah, the opposite of the thing that we talked about. Okay, anyway. Yep. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
We don't know either.
Bye.